Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The White House confirms to CBS News that the administration is pausing military aid to Ukraine. This comes after Friday's White House blow-up in front of the cameras. And as CBS's Olivia Rinaldi reports, President Trump is not happy with a recent comment from Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky.
Zelensky over the weekend said he thinks the war in Ukraine could go on much longer. He doesn't see a path for peace in the immediate future. Trump said he did not like that. He hopes that's not the case. And if he keeps talking like that, then the U.S. is no longer interested in having this conversation.
25% tariffs on goods from Mexico and Canada start tomorrow, according to President Trump, who has said that the taxes are a powerful negotiating tool.
They can't come in and steal our money and steal our jobs and take our factories and take our businesses and expect not to be punished, and they're being punished by tariffs.
CBS News business analyst Jill Schlesinger on the impact to Americans.
That means you're going to see higher prices potentially on everything from cars to Mexican beer to lumber for your houses and avocados.
A White House official confirms to CBS News that Elon Musk will attend President Trump's joint address to Congress tomorrow night. The top agent at the FBI's New York office has resigned, and it apparently was not his decision.
James Dennehy, the assistant director in charge of the New York FBI office, has retired under pressure. He told colleagues he was told late Friday to put in his retirement papers, but was not given a reason. Dennehy was reported to have resisted Justice Department efforts to scrutinize agents who participated in politically sensitive investigations, including the January 6th insurrection. Dennehy joined the FBI in 2002. Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
The Senate confirms former wrestling executive Linda McMahon to lead the Department of Education as President Trump pushes to shut it down. CBS's Major Garrett adds,
if you're going to attack the Department of Education, you're basically attacking student loans and Pell Grants, low-income students who would not have federal support otherwise, which means states would have to come up with that money themselves, imperiling their ability to keep a balanced budget or get rid of special education funding. All of those things remain extremely politically popular.
Mardi Gras celebrations scheduled for tomorrow have been canceled in Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, due to weather concerns. Strong winds are expected in the area. Parish President Cynthia Lee Sheng.
This is disappointing for all of us. This is history. I don't even know another time. You know, we had to cancel 2021 during COVID, but none of us remember another time having to cancel, and it's frustrating.
But she believes the right decision. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Bucks head to Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks play the Atlanta Hawks at State Farm Arena tomorrow night at 6:30. They beat the Mavericks in Dallas 132-117, but guard Kyle Kuzma limped off the court in the first period. Doc Rivers.
Yeah, he twisted his ankle. Kept going. We were happy we didn't have to bring him back in, though.
Is that something you just kind of have to evaluate?
Yeah, I have no idea. They don't think it's a bad one, but you don't really know until the next day.
College hoops. UW-Milwaukee with an 89-67 win over Detroit Mercy to lock up the number 3 seed in the upcoming Horizon League tournament. 11th ranked Wisconsin losing to number 8th ranked Michigan State 71-62. Badgers head coach Greg Gard on losing to the Spartans.
And yeah, we got a lot to play for in terms of seeding and Big Ten play, NCAA tournament and beyond, but you know, this, we'll learn from this. Maybe we'll see him down the road in Indianapolis or later in March.
That's Wisconsin's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. As it turns out, not everyone in Hollywood wants to be a part of a superhero movie and is willing to pass on big fat residual checks. Jeremy Allen White, star of the Emmy-winning show The Bear, has passed on the title role in DC Universe's Sergeant Rock. In a recent interview, White said he is confused at the idea that the pinnacle of an actor's career seems to be a role in a superhero film. Then again, maybe he just doesn't like to wear tights. And then there's Chris Pratt, who seems to have no problem playing superheroes as long as the check cashes. I feel you, brother. Pratt has announced that he will play Star-Lord when the character returns to the Marvel comic universe by way of Guardians of the Galaxy. Pratt is currently one of the busiest actors in Hollywood, as he is starring in The Electric State with Millie Bobby Brown on Netflix, and you can catch him in the sci-fi film Mercy, which will be released this summer. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight, maybe a sprinkle or shower and warm. Lows upper 30s. A high in the upper 40s for tomorrow with rain mainly in the afternoon. Rain continues tomorrow night, mixing with snow on Wednesday and breezy, high mid-30s.
Right now it's 38.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, the human impact of letting the world's richest man cut health care for veterans in Wisconsin. Our guest is Lou Ann Bird.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he didn't cut it even.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. A kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local, national, Native news and events, and as you know, Chuzhunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by J.S. Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Heck yeah, we're awake. And hey, we have our friend, Dr. Stately, who's president and executive officer at Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we got a lot to talk about. Great to see you, Dr. Stately.
Who's you? How are you?
Doing good, you know, putting one foot in front of the other. I was at the Capitol today doing some testifying about mascots, and it was a good time to be had to all. Ho-wah.
That's awesome.
There's things going on, Dr. Stately. I mean, the Congress and the House members.
There are so many things going on. It's crazy.
Can we let our people know what's going on, especially with the medical end?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think one of the biggest things that I wanted to draw everybody's attention to is like what's going on in Congress right now. And both the House and the Senate around, you know, the efforts to make significant, massive cuts in Medicaid and Medicare, which I think will really have a very big impact on, you know, all Indigenous communities. Many of them sort of rely on Medicaid and Medicare support to deliver critical healthcare services to their communities, whether they're on tribal lands or in their urban areas like where I work, Minneapolis. But I think the other thing that's really scary and frightening about this thing is, like, I saw an alert earlier today, like 880 million dollars, or no, is that billion dollars?
That's billion.
Yeah, billion. $880 billion projected. Efforts to cut, to save, you know, and reduce the debt load that the United States has. You know, of course, they're not going to slash it over, you know, out of 1 year. This is over, like, you know, several years, right? And it's over, like, mm-hmm. 10-year period. But, you know, this is like, so what's happening here is that the Republican Party, who currently controls the House, the Senate, and also the administrative branch are all trying to give very rich people, tax breaks and tax cuts, and they plan to, finance that on the by doing these kinds of things, cutting Medicaid and Medicare. And I think it's really important that one of the things I think that is kind of befuddling to me, actually, that I just don't really seem to understand, which is that, you know, the constituents that put him into office probably are going to be harmed by that significantly as well, tremendously, right?
Right.
And, those poor... those poor communities, those communities that are part of the grain belt, the middle, the Dust Bowl, the whole all the way into the southern states, they are gonna, they have a lot of old people. Florida, what are all those Florida is 60-70% maybe greater elders. What are they gonna do when they can't have can't get their health care through Medicare? And I think so part of it is baffling to me, this idea that they're proposing these things, because it'll significantly impact, this is not a partisan issue. This is a human issue. This is all human beings who don't have access to good health care, who can't afford private insurance, who can't afford health care services that other people who are in the upper middle class, upper class, and the oligarchs that are running around here doing all this crazy business, trying to slash and save money. What's really interesting is, I don't know if you've been tracking, the Doge website, and their receipts. I don't know anybody else, but I mean, I'm going to just kind of drill it down here. If I came home from the store after buying a loaf of bread and I gave my mother a receipt that said, show me the coupon you used to save $10 off that loaf of bread, and we only had to pay a nickel for it.
Right.
Well, that's more like eggs. Eggs is a good analogy here, because eggs will be about $10 a dozen here soon.
Right.
That is just not, that's like napkin math. That's not even real math.
Right.
And it's not money we're saving today. It's money that we're saving in 5 years and in 10 years. Mm-hmm. And it's money. And it's not even the largest part of the budget, actually. You know, the reason they have to slash and cut Medicare and Medicaid is because, and Social Security is next.
Right.
Is because those are the lion's share of our budgets, the federal government budgets. It's not, the FFA, and it's not, the CDC or NIH. Those are little teeny tiny budget numbers, right? Like less than 1-4% of the budget, or less than that collectively, right?
Yeah.
But they don't want to cut the military budget, and they don't want to rein in military spending. They don't want to rein in those kinds of things. They want to make big tax breaks for people who are already very super wealthy, don't pay enough taxes anyway, and give them more tax breaks. And it's just crazy making.
And
none of the promises he made is he coming good on. He's like, none of them.
No
mass deportation yet, right?
Right.
Your eggs and your gas and your bread and everything else is more expensive today than it was 6 weeks ago.
Well, and two, with all these job cuts, job rate in the economy is going to be going down because people don't have work. I mean, it's
we're headed for a recession, if not a depression.
Right. Well, one of the things too, we have a call to action, and I wonder if, our listeners could get that phone number, Haley. I believe it's 1-866-426-2631. That's 1-866-426-2631. Leave a 30-second message, and what the call could mean, the difference between families getting care they need, or losing access to doctors' prescriptions and critical support. Keep the pressure on, for sure.
Hold them accountable. Let them know that, like, you know, you vote and you're going to vote in the midterm. You voted, perhaps you voted for them this time, right? Mm-hmm. Let them know, like, you plan to change your vote if, like, these things happen. You know, this is going to impact, I don't know, I think about my whole entire family and all the people I know. I know several people here in the space where I live, Fire Lake, Shakopee area. Several mm-hmm. non-Indigenous people, you know, people that, you know, are middle class, who work for hard for their money, just like everybody else. And they will, you know, I have a couple of friends of mine who are cancer patients. And I think about, like, our inability to do things like research cancer, innovative cancer cures and those kinds of things. Like, these are things that are, we're going back in time here to the early 1900s, right. If not the 1800s. So,
yeah, well, it's crazy, you know, making. It is. And I appreciate you talking about this. Talk a little bit more. I know we have a short time with you today. We are with Dr. Stately, and he is the president and executive officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis. And we're talking budget cuts and what we can do as listeners and people out there in the listening to us, what they can do. It's a call to action. We'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
Your heart beats for generations.
Your heart is so many things. It beats all the time, and it works very hard to keep you moving through your day, keeping your thoughts clear. It's the most important organ in your body.
Every beat of your heart tells a story of love, resilience, and hope. Taking care of your heart means creating more moments with the ones you cherish. Learn more at hennepin.us/heart-beats. That's hennepin.us/heart-beats.
Native history in Minnesota is diverse and rich. Indigenous people have dwelled here for thousands of years and continue to live here today. Our home, Native Minnesota, at the Minnesota History Center, shares the history and contemporary stories of the region's Native peoples. Now on display, the mask designed by Miwokan Dakota artist Cole Red Horse Taylor and worn by Minnesota Wild goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury. Visit the Minnesota History Center to hear stories of resilience, adaptation, and survival.
Minnesotans are hardy. We don't let snow or ice get in our way. We have places to go, so making sure your vehicle is in prime shape for winter driving is so important. Take your vehicle to Rudy Luther Toyota for all your service needs. I was just there. I got my oil and filters replaced, and they did a complete safety check to make sure my vehicle can tackle winter. And they service all makes and models of vehicles. Head to RudyLutherToyota.com and use their super easy Toyota service schedule to set up your service appointment today. Rudy Luther Toyota on the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month. Right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we are here with Dr. Stately, President and Executive Officer of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and we're talking about these massive cuts by Medicaid, MA. We need you to call your representatives at 1-866-426-2631, and I'm calling as a constituent to urge you to fight to keep all Medicaid funding. Cuts to Medicaid would immediately hurt pregnant women, babies, children, families, and our communities. Welcome back, Dr. Stately.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I do think it's really important that we all use our voice. Creator gave us a voice for a reason. It's, you know, not just to yell at our kids. No, I'm just kidding. but to call Congress and, you know, call your senators, call your congressional representatives, and let them know your concerns. I think it's really important. I think one of the things that's profoundly interesting for me, interesting to me, is like, you know, we're, what, 6 weeks into the new presidency, mm-hmm. thereabouts, right? And in 6 weeks, the scale of what has happened here in his administration and the impact that's having on people across the United States is really alarming. And what's remarkable is the lack of significant outrage that I'm not seeing in comparison to like his first term. Where we're at today is significantly much more demonstrably different than where we were 8 years ago. And I think one of the things that's concerning to me is like we need to like encourage people to stand up and speak out mm-hmm. out. You know, I read this article, I think it was in the Atlantic, might have been in the New Yorker, talked about how, you know, Hitler came into office, you know, he was voted into office mm-hmm. through a democratic process, right? And yep. within six weeks, and here we are, we're at 6 weeks now, within 6 weeks, he was able to dismantle that democracy and take control of the entire country. And we all know what he ended up doing, right?
Right.
And so democracy dies when people don't speak up. Democracy dies when people don't stand up.
Well, I've seen a lot of people standing up. I just think we're not seeing it on the mainstream media again. That's a yes. big problem mm-hmm. that's normalized all this. I know we'll see little TikToks and little videos of maybe booing J.D. Yeah. Vance, but there's stuff going on. We just aren't yeah. getting the press, I don't think.
The press is all, you know, the majority of the press, or the majority of that field is focused, you know, their leadership, of course, also very wealthy people, right? You know, yep. people own big, huge news corporations, you know, and such. Those right. folks are interested in protecting themselves, protecting their shareholders, mm-hmm. and, you know, and protecting their dividends and all those things. They're not interested in the American people, right? It's like right. They are, and they're all afraid of him. They're all afraid to go up against him because, you know, he's going to come after them, right? And, right. you know, I was born and raised in the 1960s and 70s where people were not afraid of those things.
Right. right.
And it's just remarkable to me that, you know, that we're at the, you know, that we're at the place where we're at. Who was that woman that owned the Post? Or not the Post, the Washington Post. Yeah. That Jeff yeah. Bezos now owns, that kind of at the last minute decided not to endorse anybody, not even Kayla.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. like that woman who was like in a force to recognize, Meryl Streep portrayed her in a movie. Amazing mm-hmm. woman. She went up against big, big, huge, you know, forces in her career to say, like, no, this is where we stand. These are our values, and we're gonna print this, right? Mm-hmm. And like, where is the backbone of these people? They have no backbone.
Exactly. And we're grateful here to be on AM 950 and then the Civic Media Network all over Wisconsin and the United States. But, you know, we've always said that when, what is it, nine companies own or eight companies own 95% of the media. And that's why yeah. I have issue with the mainstream media, because look what happened to MSNBC. They only have one African American reporter, and he's on, or a news person, and he's on Saturday Night Live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fake yeah. news, really. It's this comedy.
Yeah,
so all the African Americans are gone yeah. because they folded yeah. under that.
It's we're living in very troubling times, and you know, and the thing that's really, you know, I think that things get cast. Like, you know, folks like Trump and like, you know, the conservative Republican Party, they cast things as they play on things that are the, they feed the culture wars, make us fight against each other. They're really good at that, right? I mean, we know that as people who've been colonized for over 500 or 600 years, right? It's like, mm-hmm. we understand the whole divide and conquer thing. Well, they're doing that to the American people. They're making, this group be afraid of that group and fight with that group. And they're flaming fears and insecurities, and they're capitalizing on it. Capitalizing in the sense that they're actually making money on it.
Right. Well, they're even if it's
stacking their bricks of gold while they're doing it.
Even if everything stopped today, I'm sure they're so much more richer than they were 6 weeks ago. It's going to be mind blowing.
Yeah. It's mind blowing. It's mind blowing to me. Like, that we're 6 weeks in, and I think, Elon Musk barely just now declared some of his conflicts. Right. And those aren't even, that's just like a couple of them, but there's so many more. The man has like I was like listening to somebody on the air the other day, and they were like, well, he has $1 million contracts. He has multiple $1 million contracts, SpaceX, he's got like all these, it's just crazy.
His satellites.
To think that there's three or four people who are controlling, all of the financial interests and all of the things that are being decided right now. And we barely hear a peep about it.
Right. Well, that's why it's important that we talk about it. I know the show before us talks about it. I know this network talks about it constantly from 8 o'clock on. And we just need to see how this last boycott on February 28th worked out and go from there, because there's a playlist of more things to do. I just hope that our Democrat relatives that are in Washington really don't work on a 3-day week and are on top of this every day, because it's coming at us every day. And so how we can support them and how we can push them, I think, is making a phone call to them.
Yeah. Calling the people that are standing up against them, encouraging them to continue to do it. Calling the representatives in your district who are voting for these things, maybe because they don't completely understand. Maybe they only, I think there's just a lot of false narratives that people don't pay attention to, right? The lion's share of people who are in Medicare and Medicaid and Medicare across the country are
in the red states.
Yeah, they're in the red states. It's like you voted for this man. He was going to make your life less expensive to live. He was going to ensure your well-being, and he is not doing that. And they are not doing that. And I hate when I'm sold a lemon and it's I'm told it's a watermelon. So you should hate it too. And I think that you should speak up and say so. And I think that that's kind of where we're at. It's really scary and frightening.
It is. And we appreciate you coming on and talking about this, because this is broadcast all over the world. And, we're standing up, AOC standing up, Bernie standing up. We got to support these people that are not taking any crap.
No. And I'm partly saying it too, because NAC is a federally qualified healthcare center, which is part of the system-wide network of primary care healthcare centers, community healthcare centers all across the United States. There's about 17,000 of us, 14,000, something like that. But we are the foundation of healthcare. Like, we saw this in the pandemic, right? How hard it was for you to get healthcare at your hospital, or how hard it was for you to get healthcare at these other places where you would maybe normally think that you could go get healthcare. But you know what stayed open, and just barely? Some of us closed. Some of us, like NAC, we were working, we were barely initially at the beginning, until it rained money and we started getting some, we stayed open. We got vaccines to people. We got people treated for COVID and a few other things. And we kept people well. What's going to happen is Medicaid and Medicare slashes are going to harm community health centers. And many of them will close, and people will have less access to basic primary care, preventative care that keeps them well, keeps their families well, keeps them alive, and keeps them functioning and able to go to work, take care of their kids, take care of their families.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Special Report. The White House confirms to CBS News that the Trump administration is pausing military aid to Ukraine. CBS's Eleanor Watson.
This is a clear message to Ukraine that the Trump administration is moving the line just a little bit more to try and get Ukraine to the negotiating table, to get Ukraine to agree with some of what President Trump is saying.
It's the latest fallout days after a contentious meeting between President Trump, Vice President J.D. Vance, and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House. Trump says Zelensky should be more appreciative of U.S. support.
Four prime ministers and five presidents called me over the last 2 days, and they want to work it out. They want to get it worked out.
CBS's Olivia Rinaldi says of this latest development,
it certainly shows what amounts to be a major shift in American foreign policy right now.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The Bucks head to Atlanta. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks play the Atlanta Hawks at State Farm Arena tomorrow night at 6:30. They beat the Mavericks in Dallas 132-117, but guard Kyle Kuzma limped off the court in the first period. Doc Rivers.
Yeah, he twisted his ankle. Kept going. We were happy we didn't have to bring him back in, though.
Is that something you just got to evaluate?
Yeah, I have no idea. They don't think it's a bad one, but you don't really know until the next day.
College hoops. UW-Milwaukee with an 89-67 win over Detroit Mercy to lock up the number 3 seed in the upcoming Horizon League tournament. 11th ranked Wisconsin losing to number 8th ranked Michigan State 71-62. Badgers head coach Greg Gard on losing to the Spartans.
And yeah, we got a lot to play for in terms of seeding and Big Ten play, NCAA tournament and beyond, but you know, this, we'll learn from this. Maybe we'll see him down the road in Indianapolis or later in March.
That's Wisconsin's Greg Gard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. The 2025 Oscars are in the books. In case you missed the annual celebration of movies, here is a rundown of the big winners. The Best Supporting Actor trophy was the first major category announced, and the winner was Kieran Culkin for his role in A Real Pain. Taking home Best Supporting Actress, to no one's surprise, was Zoe Saldana for her role in Emilia Perez, a film that was nominated for 13 awards and won 2. Winning his second Oscar for Best Actor was Adrian Brody for his role in The Brutalist. He probably deserved it just based on how long he had to stay in character, given the length of the film. Best Actress went to Mikey Madison for her role as the title character in Anora. Anora was really the story of the night as it made history, with director Sean Baker becoming the first person ever to win 4 Oscars from the same film. Baker won for Best Original Screenplay, Best Director, and Best Picture as the film's producer. He also won for Best Editing. Anora was nominated 6 times and won 5. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight, maybe a sprinkle or shower and warm, lows upper 30s. A high in the upper 40s for tomorrow with rain mainly in the afternoon. Rain continues tomorrow night, mixing with snow on Wednesday and breezy, high mid 30s. Right now it's 38.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, I'm joined by Megan Rowe of Opportunity Wisconsin to talk about the devastating cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid that Republicans are supporting. Join us.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh, this is Dallas Goldtooth, and you're listening to the Native Roots Radio. Hoka, hecha, wecha.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, really excited to have this artist on, Jennifer White. Jennifer White's owner of Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And you just had an art show up here in the Twin Cities, and I was able to get in there and see Haley met you. So a big peeny geeky, thank you so much for coming on.
Of course. I'm happy to be here. Thanks.
Right on. Hey, talk a little bit about the beginning of your career here. I see that you started in 2010.
Yeah, well, it started out pretty bare bone. Didn't have a whole lot of fat to work with. Painting has always been a passion, and it's kind of strange, but over the years, working with all of these phenomenal artists and organizations, it's not only improved like my work, but it's improved who I am as a human being and my consciousness into the pride I have for being a Native woman. Is just, it gets stronger every day. I'm honored and privileged to be able to do what I do.
Well, we're really honored to have you on, and your art is very recognizable, and that's a really good thing, because it's like, that is something, you know, I'd like to have on my wall. I know, Haley, you got to meet her. It was amazing for the opening at All My Relations Art Gallery.
Yeah, I think I got a little preview sneak peek for the Native media that was there that showed up, and got to talk with Jennifer for a bit. And I think we really hit it off. I think we had a lot of good laughs together, and we were talking about your art, and I think it was just so beautiful. I like to go to a lot of the exhibits at All My Relations, and yours really stuck out to me. I would just say because you really portray a lot of Native women portraits in your work. And I've talked to you too about how it's been kind of like a self identity thing too, that you see through in your work. You kind of see some of yourself too, but I love the bright colors too. There's a lot of positivity that shows through in your work.
Thanks. Well, working painting women, it's Frida Kahlo said it best, like, are these all self-portraits? I get that question quite a bit. The only reason why that is because I see my face every day, and I know it better than anything in the whole wide world. So if it is me, it is me. But at the same time, the paintings that I do, I paint every day, and my mood, especially now with what's going on with this Joker in office right now, my work has been lit. It's all about empowerment. It's about the distress cry of American Indian people and how we are not being heard or being seen. And once again, our culture is being crushed by these people that don't take the time to understand who we are. So it's my obligation and my duty and my work to recreate who we are as people's perception of Indian people. And it gets rough. It gets kind of mean sometimes. But at the same time, I really feel as though now is the time for the cry of the women, the cry of the men, these strong, powerful, influential Native people to speak up and be present and be heard. It's our time. It is our time to be lit. It is our time to be set on fire, man.
Right on. And that shows in your work, and it's going to show more in your work. I really love how you said that. You know, I'm wondering, you know, we were talking about this. My wife paints in acrylics too. That's hard because of the layering you have to do. Is that right?
That's the best part, man. Oil's so slow, and it stinks, you know, and it's hard to get off your hands. But like with acrylic, you can really beat it up. You can layer it. You can water it down. You can keep it full blast color. You can cut into it, and it dries so quickly. I appreciate acrylic. Watercolor's a little fussy as well. I'm not into it. One thing I would like to try is sculpting with clay and then bronzing it. But that's, you know, when I'm an old lady, I'll try that.
Gotta try them all.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Well, Haley paints in watercolors, so there is a big difference, bossy. Right, Haley? That's
different. Oh my gosh, yeah. Watercolor, yeah. I'm always like, you can't make mistakes because the water's gonna do its own thing. But I like to work with water too, because water's life. Yeah.
Oh, good. That one. Minichone there. Haley.
That's great.
So how can people, because again, we're all over the country and on 30 stations in Wisconsin, in the Twin Cities, Michigan, Illinois, we should name them off someday when we start out the show, but how can people see your work via internet, or do you have a Facebook or an Instagram?
Oh yeah. Well, I have a Facebook that's exclusive. I update that daily. I'm on Instagram, but I'm an old lady. I'm not really into it. It's not my forte. Word of mouth is by far my most powerful advertising agent. I believe bad news spreads quickly, but good news goes to the right ears. So I don't do a whole lot of advertising. Word of mouth is very, very, very important to me. And if you own my work, you've probably met me, and I appreciate that kind of gatekeeping on my part. I don't want to be a whore with my work. I want to know who I'm selling to.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I got to say this too. I've always wanted to start a business, offshoot business called Burning Wagons Logistics or something. But I really like your Post Pilgrim name. Tell us how that came about.
We're still here. You didn't get rid of us. I like it because it's tongue-in-cheek. I'm from South Dakota, so it's kind of like cowboy country. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a little bit boss hog in the way that, you know, don't fuss around with me, man. Like, I'm a proud Indian girl, and we're going to be here for a while. And my blood with my children will be here for a while, and I have two painters. My girls are painters, and they're fabulous. They're award-winning as well, but like, they're going to be here well after I'm done, and I hope I have grandchildren that can do this. There's a little bit of nepotism involved, but like, man, I earned it. I can do that, and I think we should all strive for that as a people. We need to build our own businesses. We need to make them sustainable, and we need to make them with purpose. And we need to be able to bridge that gap between native and non-native, because in that fluffy area, everybody gets to be seen and everybody gets to be heard. Having a foothold in each of those worlds helps me creatively, and it helps me in my business, but it also allows me to weed out a bunch of suckers that shouldn't be looking at my work, both Indian and non.
Wow, good words. And just truth be told, Haley's my chujunk. She's my niece, so we're keeping.
Oh, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. You get it. You get it. You know.
That kind of leads into my next question. So you talked about your kids, and hopefully you have some talented artistic grandkids as well. Do you have like your older generations or anyone that you looked up to that kind of made you into the artist that you are now?
Oh, absolutely. Well, my grandmother is a big one. She was a quilter, but she was a little teeny tiny, horribly bossy, spooky, a Rick of Rob woman. She was tiny, but man, when she talked, you listened. I am honored to be able to learn from her and my aunts on how to hold your space and walk into a room with confidence and self-assurance that you are exactly where you're supposed to be. And then on the flip, so the the male energy that I got growing up was from my gay uncle, and he's a raging homo. I love him with all my heart. I mean, we grew up listening to opera, tea parties, and I got to see my uncle fight for his space in a completely different way as a homosexual man. Mm-hmm. And that kind of bravery, that empowerment, like, that sunk into my skin, man. That kind of confidence was osmosis. It went straight from him right into my heart. And then learning how to kind of navigate my way on how people looked at my family, being Native, being queer, just being different. I got to observe, like, the kind of way I wanted to present myself to the world. And it was a true, honest gift to grow up in almost exclusively non-Native community, because I got to be behind the lines. I gotta know how these guys think. And it's very powerful to be able to navigate through those worlds together. As I was saying earlier, it shows in my work all the time. But I'm married to a white boy, you know, and I love him with all my heart. He's a big, tall Norwegian drink of water. And I have so much pride in him for being able to give me my room to do what I do and just be there to support what I do as a woman and as an Indian. And he is also teaching the community how to behave as well. Mm-hmm. So it's a powerful thing, and I'm very honored, and I'm very, very, very blessed with the family and people I have around me.
Wow, right on. Haley, did you have another question?
No, I think I was able to meet your husband actually at the gallery exhibit. I think you had your whole family come and from out of town, and they were helping pull in pieces. And they were very supportive. I know we have a minute left here, but coming up in the next segment, I would love to talk a little bit more about your gallery and everything going on at Post Pilgrim.
Absolutely.
Wow. Thank you. This is awesome, Haley. What a great guest. Hey, we're going to be right back. This is Native Roots Radio, and I love Post Pilgrim Gallery. I love that. Right next to Burning Wagon Soda Shop. We'll be right back. We'll be right back after this important message.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis Air. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
I love the Toyota Sienna Hybrid from Rudy Luther Toyota. Safe, roomy, comfortable, and insanely fuel efficient. One thing I haven't mentioned is how good the Sienna is at winter driving. We just had a snowstorm, and my Sienna handled the ice and snow no problem. From getting through the plow pile at the end of the driveway to safely navigating the snow-covered highways, the Sienna is designed to give you a comfortable, safe drive. When winter weather hits, I give myself extra time, but with Sienna's handling and heated seats, extra time is great. Test drive a Sienna today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
In a galaxy not so far away, the battle for truth rages on. Smart Wars is a solo exhibition by Rory Wakeemup, a Minnesota Chippewa artist who flips the script on Star Wars using humor and regalia. Wakeemup challenges colonial narratives and reclaims indigenous values of balance, resilience, and environmental activism. This exhibition runs February 27th through April 5th at All My Relations Arts in Minneapolis. More information at allmyrelationsarts.org. Support comes from the Walker Arts Center. Did you know that the Walker has a cinema that shows film almost every week? From artist talks, genre-defined performances, and world premieres to archival shorts and experimental soundscapes, the Walker Cinema explores all modes of global and local filmmaking. Get your first ticket for free. Visit walkerart.org/cinema to learn more. See you at the movies. walkerart.org/cinema to learn more.
Anin, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
In this portion of the show, we like to bring awareness to our Minnesota wolf population. Say no to the hunts. How?
Woo!
Hey, Jennifer. Hey, we have Jennifer White, our painter and owner of Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Hey, where? Let's talk a little bit, like Haley said, let's talk a little bit about your gallery and how people driving through Sioux Falls can find it.
All right. Well, I'm super snobby. I'm only open by appointment. I'm kind of a bum, but I'm not really a bum. I work every day. It's just some days I want to work, you know, and it requires a lot, you know. I just want to be in the zone when I'm working. But otherwise, reach out to me on Facebook. My phone number is on there, and like, just give me a call. And if there's something that you see, just reach out to me. But I had my first show at this joint. It's called Last Stop CD Shop. And this cat named Brian and his wife Janine on it. And about 15 years ago, they gave me a show there. And like, man, I sold work for the first time, and I was addicted, dude. I was like, this is the best drug I've ever done. And so, I was like, man, I'm gonna see if I can do this. I'm gonna see if I can do this for a living. And so I got into a gallery, and it was pretty fabulous. I noticed that when you put your career as an artist into the hands of other people, they want to take part in your success. They want to keep a part of it for themselves. Like, your success is their, you know, to their credit. Mm-hmm. That didn't sit right with me. And so I went to these cats years later after my first show there, and I asked if they'd be interested in financing a gallery for me, and they did, and it's wild. And this is what I tell everybody I meet. Don't be afraid to ask, because the only answer you're going to get that would be bad would be no. But you're no worse off than when you started. Sometimes it takes a little bit of bravery to be told the word no. And to be quite frank, I'm not scared of it anymore. Right. So like, we've been working on this for about 8 years now. And we used to bring in guest artists once a month. We'd do Final Friday, but then COVID hit, and traveling was not as cool as it once was. And my daughter also got diagnosed with cancer at that time, so we had to be super careful about like spreading germs. And South Dakota was very open, you know, it kept a lot of the doors open. A lot of people were still able to make money and live as usual. Granted, we died most per capita in the entire country, but yeah, thanks, Christina. That was super cool. Anyway, so after that kind of shut down, I closed up our main gallery and moved into a studio. And it was kind of a pivot for me in my career to be able to just represent me and my daughters, opposed to bringing in people to represent.
Yeah,
I get a focus on our careers, and they get to know us as a unit. And it's very nice being in business with these women that aren't afraid to ask questions. They want to learn the game, and they also want to be the best painters that they can be. And if that's what their dad and I can instill in them as young women, to be empowered, we're going to keep going forward with that notion.
Are you left-handed or right-handed?
I'm ambidextrous.
Uh-huh.
Right.
So
yeah.
I had really bad tennis elbow about a year ago, so I taught myself how to paint with my left hand.
Wow.
Yeah, it's nuts. But, like, I've always, like, shot cool and bold with my left hand. So it's always been an ability. But, like, dude, you know, it's cool to be able to do both.
Wait a minute. You bold left-handed?
Yeah, it's weird, right?
That's awesome.
Man, and when I was pregnant, I was a hella good bowler. I don't know.
Oh,
it was
my
weird.
Goodness.
I don't know. I was pregnant a lot. I have six kids, so it's like, yeah, we had some bowling time in.
Well, when you were pregnant, you were bowling for two, so that's probably why you were twice as good.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I had some extra energy, some good juju with me on that one, you bet.
Exactly. That's crazy.
But the gallery is doing well, and it's really groovy. I'm going to tell you a story real quick. There's a law firm here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and you know, it's cool, but my audience is interesting, of all shapes, creeds, colors, and demographic. It's awesome. But it was a law firm, and they asked me to do a series for them. And I painted this glorious war pony. And throughout the entire piece, the American flag was represented upside down. It's hardcore Indian. It's hardcore, yeah. Like, pay attention, listen. And it's in a prominent attorney's office here in Sioux Falls. So, like, I really enjoy being Native. And when other people see that, other Natives see it, they'll know. You know,
yeah,
it's kind of an unspoken language that we have. But if you know, you know.
That's right. Yeah. We got the distressed American flag upside down for sure.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, we've been distress for 500 years. So
amen. Amen. I hear that. And to kind of tag onto that, I hope what we do at Post Pilgrim, I hope it enlightens non-Native people as to who we really are. Sometimes I call it the unicorn effect, that people expect certain things out of Indian people that they wouldn't expect out of, say, meeting like a Japanese or, you know, a French person, where somehow we have magical powers. But the real power is that we love our families and we come from this earth and our belly buttons are attached to this land and you couldn't tear us away from it if you tried. And that's to be able to explain that with love and pride and passion, oof, that's what we want to grow at Post Pilgrim. That is what we want to sow at Post Pilgrim.
That's beautiful. And we have one of our listeners, Santina, that is listening every day, and she said, bring Jay back on the show more often. And I vote yes, too.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Ho, you have to haul with us next time. Ho.
Ho.
Yeah.
There we go.
I got a quick question. We only got a couple minutes left. Sure. Haley, do you have one of those paintings put up again real quick? Yeah, the one on the left-hand side, I don't know if you can see it. It's a pretty big picture of, it looks like two women, and one's kind of their eyes are looking different ways than their head. How long? And it's a big painting. How long did it take you to do something, a painting like that?
Oh, I'm super manic. So I'll work on a new idea on the same piece of canvas for like days. But then once I have that new idea figured out and I know it upside down, inside out, I'll knock out maybe two or three pieces in a week. I love painting. There is nothing that challenges me more. There is nothing that brings me more joy than figuring out how to become a better painter. And some of these intellectual painters, pish posh, you know, like, you'll never be, there's no such thing as becoming a better painter. Hell yeah, there is. I think there is. I love painting. And it's truly like reading a book. Like, once you read a book, you realize you have a million more books you need to read. That's what painting is like.
Well, Jay White, Jennifer White, we are just so happy to have you on. You're owner of Post Pilgrim Gallery in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And what a great person you are, and we'd love to have you on again.
Oh, absolutely. I'd love it.
Right on. And then you can tell
Thank
us what kind of cigarettes
you,
what kind of, you can tell us what kind of cigarettes you smoke then next time. Oh, wow.
Virginia Super Slim, bro.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we all want clean drinking water. What about road salt? What happens with that? We'll kick that around tomorrow. Don't miss it.
Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings at 10.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is Locally Grown Radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Days after the Oval Office clash between President Trump, Vice President Vance, and Ukraine's president, the White House hits the pause button on aid to Ukraine. CBS's Eleanor Watson.
The president is pausing and reviewing all aid to Ukraine to ensure that it is contributing to a solution.
CBS's MTS Tayeb in Kyiv has spoken with a soldier named Oleksiy.
You're going to keep fighting no matter what.
Of course, for the sake of my granddaughter, he said, we must protect ourselves to prove that Ukraine exists. A fight for Ukraine, everyone we met here believes in.
President Trump said earlier today that the minerals deal is not off the table with Ukraine, and he needs Ukraine's president to be more appreciative so that they can restart negotiations.
I believe that Russia wants to make a deal. I believe certainly the people of Ukraine want to make a deal. They've suffered more than anybody else.
CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Tune in.